Today, for all saints, I'm proclaiming the word of God from Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit, so that we may look with all the saints to Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So today in this sermon, I'll be proclaiming God's word from the Hebrews reading, but also handing on some teaching regarding the saints as we have it from our Augsburg Confession. Now, there's good news I'm proclaiming today, and that is that God provides us with faithful examples of Christian living for us to imitate. Real flesh and blood people who have looked to Jesus and have shown us what the life of faith looks like, even in the very ordinary aspects of life. These saints with us are on the same path, running the same race, and will not cross the finishing line without us. Now, here's how the reading begins from Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, who are the witnesses that the writer of the Hebrews is talking about? To find the answer to that question, you have to go back to Hebrews 11. That's the great chapter on faith. I'm sure many of you here know this chapter well. In that chapter, the writer gives the example of many of God's people from the Old Testament. Abel, Enoch, Rahab, Moses, you name it. A great cast of God's holy people. They make up this great cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. They're given for us as examples, indeed, of Christian living, we could say. Now, this sort of scriptural witness is why our church has a confession, a public teaching about the saints, about God's holy ones, and the attitude that we should take towards God's holy ones who have gone before us. So listen to this from the Augsburg Confession. It says, our churches teach that saints may be remembered in order that we may imitate their faith and good works according to our calling. In other words, it's a good thing for us to hear about the Christian people who have gone before us, to think about the way that they've placed their faith in God, and also to imitate the works of love that they have done. This can be controversial because sometimes in the history of the church, people have focused on the saints rather than on Christ. But in our confession, we want to make sure that it's clear. It's a good thing to remember the saints. And it says in our teaching to remember them according to our calling. Sometimes we can think the saints are people very far removed from us. People who indeed were holy, but holy in ways that we could not be. But of course, we understand on the basis of Scripture that the path of holiness is open to all of God's people. And God leads us on this path in the very ordinary events of life. So think about where you are in life, the places God has put you. Maybe in the family as mum or dad or grandma or grandpa or child. Or maybe in the workplace or as citizens of Australia, God has put us in places, sometimes very ordinary, mundane places, shared with many people. And in those places, there are tasks to do, maybe things as simple as changing nappies or making lunches or making sure the accounts are paid. Doing these things faithfully, knowing that God is watching, following the example of God's faithful people before us, this is a path of holiness for us. In fact, the Augsburg Confession gives a very specific example of a saint, and it's one that's listed in Hebrews chapter 11, the very flesh and blood man, David. So in the Augsburg Confession, it says this: thus the emperor can imitate the example of David, and get a load of this, in waging war to drive the Turk from our native land. For both of them, that is the emperor and David, are kings. Now the emperor that's being talked about here is a fellow called Charles V. And he had a problem because his lands were being invaded by the Ottoman Empire. They're right there in Europe. And he had a job to do as a king, and that is to defend the land. That's part of the job description of a leader of a country. The writers of the Augsburg Confession would say, David indeed was in many ways an imperfect man, to put it mildly. Most of us know here the story of David. He did truly bad things, like commit adultery and even help one of the troops that he had to be killed, a version of murder, we would say. So very far from perfect, a man who knew that he needed to repent and be forgiven. But also a man who showed his faith in the worship of God, but also in doing his job as king. So if you're in a position of power and you need to defend and you do it, that is a holy work. Now, this can be a bit uneasy for us to hear, and certainly it's worth us thinking about what's going on here. So even if you have difficulty with this teaching, and it is difficult and worth thinking about, we could say the real encouragement here is to think about holiness as not something remote from us, but something close to us. That as we live out our callings faithfully, this is the will of God for our lives. So think about where God's placed you and the tasks that you have to do in your own life, the tasks that you know are pleasing to God. Think about this today on All Saints. Now, before we get back to Hebrews, listen to how the Augsburg Confession goes on in its teaching about saints. It's good for us to hear this too. However, Scripture does not teach calling on the saints or pleading for help from them, for it sets before us Christ alone as mediator, atoning sacrifice, high priest, and intercessor. He is to be called upon, and he has promised that our prayers will be heard. Furthermore, he strongly approves of this worship most of all, namely, that he be called upon in all afflictions. The concern here is that sometimes people, in remembering the saints, can forget about Christ and can start to seek help from the saints rather than from Jesus. Our confession wants to remind us that Jesus is the one alone who can make a sacrifice for our sins. And we'll get to this as we go on in Hebrews. In fact, let's listen again to Hebrews. Therefore, it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now, the imagery here is the imagery of athletics. So if you get that image in your mind, you'll go a long way in understanding this particular reading. Think about a race. Think about the preparation for a race, the crowd who is there watching on, and the athletes themselves. Now, the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand that we, on this race, are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people who themselves had as their goal the Lord Jesus Christ, and people who are with us, encouraging us in the race of faith. It's a funny psychological reality for human beings that there is such a thing as a home team advantage. Athletes, when they are supported by a crowd, can really excel. We know this. Perhaps we've been part of a crowd helping others win, or we ourselves have been playing a sport and been held up by the support of the crowd. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're never alone in the race of faith. The saints who have gone before us are with us. So I think on the basis of Scripture, it's good for us to think about Moses being with us, cheering us on in the life of faith, or Abraham, or David, or Rahab, or any of God's holy ones. It talks about this in this text, by the way, of laying aside everything that can weigh us down, including sin. Now picture an athlete before the race. They come onto the track wearing their track suit and maybe other paraphernalia. But before the race, they take this stuff off. Because to race well, you need to be unencumbered. And the writer here is saying that we race well when we are unencumbered by things like sin. There are three ways we can think about this. There are more than three ways, but today I'll think about three ways. One of the ways we disencumber ourselves from sin is by simply admitting that we have sinned. Coming before God, confessing our sins. That's one way of disencumbering ourselves, laying aside everything that would hinder us in the race of faith. So confessing our own sins. But it's not just our own sins that can encumber us. Sometimes people have sinned against us, and that weighs us down. This is a very common human and Christian experience. Someone, maybe even a fellow Christian, harms us in some way. And it's a real injustice. And in our minds we go over it, and we become embittered and angry, and maybe even withdraw from Christian community. We can lay aside this by forgiving our brother or sister, just as our Lord Jesus Christ commands us to do. It seems to me also, by the way, that we can be encumbered by the sins of God's holy people. So think about David and his sins. We can think, well, if a saint does that, is there really such a thing as holiness? Now, I dare say most of us here have been disappointed by leaders in our own church, maybe pastors in the church, maybe the pastor speaking to you from the pulpit today. And sometimes that can be off-putting in the life of faith. Aren't these people meant to be leaders, we ask ourselves? Is there really such a thing as holy living if this is how they behave? And it can encumber us and hold us back in the life of faith. A short reading of Scripture assures us that indeed God's leaders do make mistakes. You don't have to read the Gospels for very long to see that this is the case. So we can divest ourselves of sin by also recognizing that there is sin also in God's holy ones, and not expecting perfection of people who are on the path but not there yet. We are in the same boat together as God's people. We have a high calling, and our focus is not in the end on ourselves or on God's holy ones, but on Christ Jesus himself. He is the only one who was without sin, and he is the one who brings us to our goal with God. In fact, this is what the writer of Hebrews says, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter or completer of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was and is the Holy One of God. He is the only one who could provide a sacrifice for our sins. And so we are wise together with the saints when we focus on him and we look to him for the help that we need. Because in him is forgiveness from God. In him is also the freedom to share his forgiveness with others who have sinned against us. In him is also the wisdom to understand that God's holy people need forgiveness. So we have this as a gift from God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who brings us across the finishing line. I want to end today's sermon by just giving you some encouragement to think about your own life and the people that God has put into your life. God's holy people, real flesh and blood people with real human weaknesses, who persevered in trusting God, who admitted their sin, who forgave others, who didn't let their disappointment with the church and people in the church put them off having fellowship with the church, and who handed on the good news to you. Maybe it's your mum or your dad, who I'm sure you know are imperfect, but who handed on good things to you. Maybe a friend of yours or a relative or someone in your workplace. We all have people to be thankful to God for today. Saints, real flesh and blood human beings who persevered in faith, who are cheering us on now in the life that we are living, in our run of faith. So let's remember them and give thanks to God for them, and let's together focus on Christ Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the one who brings us home to God. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.